Hebrews chapter 13. We are going to finish the book of Hebrews today. Can you believe it? No applause, please. We've been going through this book for quite a while, well over a year now, and mined a whole bunch of different truths from it. And so today we get to conclude in it. And even though Tom has prayed just a few moments ago, I want to open this time up in prayer. So would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, you are the one who is ever faithful. And you have even been faithful to reveal yourself to us through your word. We don't worship the word, we worship the word made flesh. And you have spoken through this written word, and thus we want to heed it. We want to come to it. And by the power of your spirit, we are asking you to speak to us through it. Many of us have things on our minds, things either from the past week, things ahead this afternoon, the week coming up. I'm asking that you would help us to engage here now and to listen, and that you would speak clearly that we might know just a little bit more of you today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Talking a little bit about benediction this morning. Now, there's a word we don't use all that often anymore. Multi-syllable word, benediction. In fact, if anything, it sounds a little churchy. Sounds kind of like a formal thing. And if you take the word and you break it into its two parts, it comes from two Latin roots. Bene, which means something is well, I wish you well, or something good. And dictio, which is speaking. You have a dictionary, you're looking at words, the things that we would use to speak. So when you put this well with speaking, you have well speaking. That's what a benediction is, something that's well wishing. It's something that's meant to encourage and build you up. And this book ends with what we can call a benediction. Just like any letter would be, when you're personal, you have something that you wanted to include that just speaks well and maybe can summarize a lot of what you've already covered and what you've already talked about. And that's what we're going to find here. Because for the past 13 chapters, we have gotten a lot of things that God has spoken to us, haven't we? We've received instruction. We've received teaching and doctrine, encouragements, reminders, and we've gotten exhortations throughout it, even warnings. And so as we get ready to look at this benediction that in essence is going to give us some exhortations, even as much of the book has done so far, I think it's good first to just do a quick recap. All right. Some of you, you'll be like, Jack, we got this. We've seen this before. Others of you thinking, no, I'm not up to speed. This is good and this is helpful. So let me just run through it real quick here. The first thing I want to remember is the call. What has this book done for us? It's given us a call, and that is we're to press on to maturity. We are meant to grow. And the way that this message was presented to us, it began by looking at the person of Jesus Christ and his superiority. First four chapters, we looked at the superiority of his personhood and who he is. That he is greater than any angel. He's greater than Moses. That he is the highest one. And then we looked at his superiority in terms of his priesthood. And how Jesus is higher than the tabernacle. He's higher than Aaron. He's higher than the priesthood to come and to follow after that. And then we got into later chapters and we saw there was a call to us. And it all has to do with the principle of faith in chapters 10 and 11. We've seen people who live their faith and the call of to ourselves to live out our faith. And what is it that we believe? And finally, these last two chapters, we've looked at the practice of faith. And this is where we've taken what we've learned and now we're meant to put shoe leather on it so that we can apply this and put it into our lives. And so the book as a whole, I can say this, it is an exhortation throughout it. It is calling us to do something. What's an exhortation? Let me give you Webster's, a form of Webster's, all right? This is what an exhortation is. A conveying of urgent advice or recommendations. It's this call to say, now you see this? Now go somewhere with it. You're not meant to just treat this lightly. Take what I'm giving you And now be ready to put this into practice and do something with it. And the call is that we are not to move backwards in our faith. We're to advance. Because remember, the original recipients are being drawn back to Judaism. They're leaving Christ for the shadows of the Jewish law that was meant to point them to Christ. And the call has been, don't settle for shadows, go for Him. And while for most of us that probably isn't a temptation to go back to Judaism, there are a lot of other things that we can put our trust in, aren't there? We can do the exact same thing. So the exhortation is look to Christ. See Him for who He is and follow Him. And so the call is not only don't go backwards, but it's also don't stagnate. Don't remain here either. You are meant to continue to grow and to advance in your faith. If you've ever kept up with football, you know that a team, that every play, they don't lose any yards, but neither do they gain any yards, will never win. And that's not the objective. Just don't lose any yardage. That's not the objective. The objective is advance. You keep going all the way to the end zone. And it's the same thing for us. The exhortation is to grow and to keep going in your faith. Don't fall back. Don't get lazy with it. And that's why we have this book. That's why we have the exhortations in it. It's saying, let's advance. Let's move forward. And it's meant to warn us at times. And it's also meant to inspire us at times. And if I bring all this kind of into an ultimate conclusion, it's just that exhortations are a form of God's grace to you. You ever stop and think about that? When God exhorts us to something, that is a form of His grace. That He's saying, don't stay there, come over here and do this and embrace this. And the end of this book, in fact, the next few verses that we're going to look at, there are two final exhortations in it that we're going to look at and examine. Maybe one of them will apply to you today. So you can consider this. The first of these last and final exhortations is going to be found in the prayer that follows. So look at it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. He says, now the God of peace. I'm going to stop right there. Let that soak in a minute. The God of peace. We talked about a benediction, a good word, something well saying. There is an Old Testament benediction. Many of you are familiar with it. It comes out of the book of Numbers, and it goes like this. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and give you shalom. Peace. Peace. That's what the benediction, the word is. And that is what we all want, don't we? We want peace. But are we going to get peace in this life? Not necessarily. What this book is reminding us is that we do have peace, the ultimate peace, the one that we really need, and that is a peace with God, one that we have disrupted, one that we brought our sin into. And instead, what God has done, and this book has shown us time and again, is Jesus said, I'll tell you what, I have peace with God. I will give you my peace. And I will take the violence that's due to you. I'll take it upon myself. And we've been rescued from it. And as a result, we can have peace with God. The whole rest of the world might be burning down. But ladies and gentlemen, if you've got that, you've got everything. You've got peace with Him. And so this is significant because remember, the original recipients, they weren't experiencing peace day to day, were they? They were having difficulties. They were going through persecutions. And so to be reminded about this regarding God was vitally important for them to hold on to. Because peace isn't necessarily found in, am I just going to have a good day today? Is it going to go all right and in my favor? It's so much higher than that. It's in a person. Your peace is found in a person and in a destiny that you have because of this person, Jesus Christ. So this God, who is peace, we keep reading, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you. in every good thing to do His will. There's the exhortation. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So again, this prayer is just reaffirming to them the confidence that they can have that God is going to meet their every need. And the things that they're being called to, God is going to come to their rescue. He's going to help them. And they've got these trials. God is going to be with them. And remember something. We're talking about the same God who created the worlds. This is the same God that delivered Israel out of slavery. This is the same God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is the same God who's going to see you through whatever it is that you're going through right now. That's the history that you have to look in His person and His character and to remember and to hold fast to. And if He cared for them, He's going to care for you too. You got difficulties today? He's going to see you through. He's going to continue to walk with you. Y'all remember back a few verses, verse 8 there, where we saw Jesus Christ as the same yesterday and today and forever? That's what we got to keep holding on to. This God who has worked for the people of the past and in our past is the same one who's going to work with us today, the same one who's going to work with us tomorrow, and for the people that come after us. And He's trustworthy. This prayer has given us the reminder, He's the great shepherd. He's the one that's caring. And because of that, He is going to continue to shepherd you, even when it feels like there's not a whole lot of relief coming on right now. He's going to continue to shepherd you, and He guides you, and He instructs you. But He's faithful, and He's going to continue in His work. And it's His work to complete you to being more mature. You realize that? He is the one doing this work to help you as you're persevering in your maturity and in your growth and your development. That's what's maturing you. And sometimes He's going to use suffering to do it. Sometimes He's going to use things that we don't like to do it. And He's going to use some wonderful things that we will like to do it. But this is who we're serving. This is who we're worshiping. And this is where He's going with us. Remember, this is the same one who sat down at the right hand of the Father. This is the one who intercedes on your behalf. This is the one who is glorified as you grow. Realize that? As you're growing, this is a means of bringing God glory because it's Him at work in you. And this whole theme of perfection and maturity, this is part of the prayer of exhortation for these people, but for us. Same. Now you and I, here's something we both know. You can give me an exhortation, can't you? You can say, Jack, I think you should consider this, or you should do this. Well, what does that actually accomplish? It doesn't accomplish anything unless I take the exhortation and begin to apply it. And I begin to take action on it. There's an act of the will that necessarily must take place when these exhortations come our way. And this is why God in His grace, through this writer in verse 22, gives us the next verse that we find. Look at it. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I've written to you briefly. So He's saying, look, this is the will of God. Y'all remember months ago we talked about how to discern the will of God? And instead of seeing it as this narrow little trail of choices, and I hope I pick the right one, it's a much broader thing where every day, moment by moment, we have the revealed word of God by which, from that, we then make decisions. Just make the next step. And where God is clearly spoken, we obey. And thus we know that we're in His will. And God is at work in and through you when you go through these choices to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. So I take these two verses together. The first exhortation is you keep moving forward in your faith. That's what we're called to do. Keep moving forward. This is the common theme we've seen throughout this book. Keep moving forward. Know that God is working. Know that God is working to perfect you. Are you ready for this? Some of you got really bad things going on in your life right now. Some of you have very hard things going on in your life right now. God is working through it to perfect you. Don't quit. Don't you quit. Don't you get tired. Don't you get, you know, lazy with this. You come back to this and say, God wants me to persevere in faith, even though I've got this difficulty, illness, sickness, relationship, whatever it may happen to be. God says, you continue to move forward and don't you quit. It's what he desires in us. And we're meant to take this exhortation and go with it. Can I give you just a little micro example of what I'm talking about? I think I've shared with some of you before. When my son, one of my sons, decided he was going to go to a state college, I said, oh boy. And I sat him down because I knew he had to live in the dorm. And I sat him down and I said, okay, I'm going to get you ready. Have a seat, son. Let me tell you what you're going to experience. And I just started laying things out in detail, graphic detail. You're going to see this. You're going to experience this. You're going to go through this. And I spelled it out as clear as I could. And then I gave him these things. I said, now, when you get there, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there for me when I was in college. And he's going to be there for you while you're in college. And so as a result, you need to take some of these exhortations. You need to find you a church. Don't just get stagnant. You find a church. You start going to that church and you make that church better because you're there. You be used by God. And then you find you a circle of Christian friends there on campus. And if you're going to live in the dorm, let's pray and let's try to find a Christian roommate. Because that can make all the difference in the world in what you're, how you're going to go in the day to day. And as we prayed about these things, God just continued to provide over and over and over again. And just a little side note, something I just find really cool. Here he is going to this highly secular university, and his spiritual walk has deepened more than many people who go to a Christian university. Why? Because God was at work. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he took the exhortations. He took what he had and he said, okay, then let me apply this. And God was faithful to work. Amen. A lot of you have the same kind of testimony, the same kind of stories. And that's what we need to be doing. And let me just throw this out. Folks, especially those of you with children, you'll have a propensity to this, but you don't have to have children to be this way. Don't live your life in fear. Don't do it. I have wasted way too much time on this planet walking and living in fear. Instead, you come back to who is God. You put your confidence in him. And whatever circumstance starts to arise, you just keep going in your faith and you keep trusting him and watch and see what he does. Take the exhortations here. Don't retreat. You charge. You get into it. You go forward, but don't stagnate or go backwards. Yes, we are to be humble, but you can walk in confidence. You can be humble and at the same time be confident, because it isn't your strength you're walking in, right? It's faith in the God who will sustain you and has sustained you. So that's what we're going to do. Amen? And we mix a few peanut M&Ms, you know, a little frisbee golf in that along the way. We can have a great life. I didn't say an easy life. Did I say easy life, Chris? No. We can have a great life. And you'll see what God does in and through you. We take this exhortation and we grow. We keep moving in our faith. That's one. You ready for the second one? Only got two this morning. It's actually fairly subtle coming up in the next few verses. Verse 23. It says, take notice that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints, and those from Italy greet you. Now, when you first read that, you think, well, that's just sweet. That's just a real personal note there, isn't it? And there is some, you know, personableness. Is that a word? Personableness coming out here in this and what's written. But there's also something else. This is highlighting, I think, something very interesting, because he's highlighting Timothy. Where has Timothy come from? Look at the verse. Prison. That means Timothy has been persecuted for his faith. And Timothy has been released as of late. And this is an example for you to follow. Because remember, they're being persecuted. Don't forget Timothy. He has stood the test. He has kept moving forward in his faith. And just like him, there's the subtle hint that you're going to do the same thing. You're going to continue to advance. He highlights their leaders here too. And he reminds them, and don't forget your leaders, greet them for us. Even though whoever this writer is, whether it's Paul or somebody else, we don't really know, but whoever it is, they had an authority, but they're not going to usurp the local leaders in this church. And they're highlighting them, but they're also drawing attention to them. Remember them. Greet them. He sends his greeting as an equal. And then he mentions something else. Those in Italy greet you. Now stop and think about that. These people all of a sudden are getting reminded we're not the only ones. Sometimes it's easy to do that, isn't it? We look around in our church and this is it. Or maybe even less, we get in our own little world. And you know, this is it. I'm all alone. And this little greeting here is just sort of a subtle reminder. You are not alone. You are not the only one walking in your faith. You are not the only one enduring persecution. You are not the only one who's got daily struggles. You've got other people here going through the same kinds of things. And the exhortation, ever so subtly, is just to remember that you're not alone. Very important for us. Because there's something about being alone that just makes things feel harder, isn't there? When you're by yourself. And you don't really have anybody else to go with you or to help you. But when others are around you, and when you see other people going through this, now that's inspiring. One of the things that I vividly remember in one of these boot camps that I had to go to is we had to go through this run, and we had to do it for a time. And most of us knew we were going to pass, but, you know, we wanted to get a high score. But there was a couple of us that were struggling and, you know, maybe not going to make it. And so we all had to run. It was on this track. We all had to run at the same time. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, it's such a vivid thing in my mind. The guy who was the fastest was, again, the fastest. And on this particular day, it was like we all ran. And here's the peloton, you know, going. And then this guy's way out here in front. And he goes, and we're doing all these laps. And finally, he comes around and he crosses that finish line. And so, but we're still sprinting. We're still going. And then he turns around and he ran back. And he went to the guys that are struggling. And he came alongside them. And he ran with them. And he was cheering them. Come on. Come on. Not this obnoxious kind. It was just that real soliloquy. Come on. You can do it. And he ran each one of them to the finish line. Actually, didn't run them all because we picked up on his lead. And there was another couple of guys went back to the other ones that were struggling and ran with them. Everybody made it. All of us. But we needed someone to go with us. You know, and that's the way you and I are in the day to day. We got to know somebody else is there too. God is there for us. But many times God's hand, his touch on us is going to be that other person that comes alongside us. And we need to remember it. My daughter today is in Israel. Don't worry, I've already confessed my jealousy this morning. I come to the pulpit clean. But, you know, she's over there and we're getting these text messages back and we're here and just being reminded, Christians, there's Christians that they're meeting and seeing over there, another country. We got missionaries that we support. There's Christians over there. There are other churches in this town. There are Christians in the next service. You realize that? You never see them, but but no. You know, we just continue to look around, and it's so important for us to remember this, that we are part of a bigger community, and God is going to work in and through them on us as well, and it's good for us to remember that they are with us, and we are not alone. They're here for us. We're here for them. Chuck Swindoll told a story years ago. I never forgot it. It was about Harry Houdini. You remember him? The guy who did all these escape artist tricks. And he said on this one particular occasion, they had him all handcuffed. And they put him behind this little barrier so you couldn't see him. So he goes behind there and the crowd is standing and they're waiting. And Houdini's back there, you know, and it's pause, pause, pause. And all of a sudden, out he pops. And the crowd just roars for a second. And then they notice he's still got all these handcuffs. And so then he goes back. And, you know, they wait and they wait and they wait. And then he comes back out. Hey, big roar. Oh, he's still not free. And so he comes back. And this went on a few times until finally he did pop out and he's free. Hey, everybody cheers, they're celebrating. And then someone came to Houdini afterwards and they asked him, what was the deal with that? You know, why did you keep coming out? And he said, well, here's the bottom line. I was having a hard time and I needed the applause to help maintain my enthusiasm. He needed them, the audience. And it's the same thing with us. We had chapter 11 that showed us these people who maintained and walked in their faith, didn't we? Time and again. And chapter 12 began by telling us that we are part of this great cloud of witnesses, this group of people that are walking and have walked, even as we must. And the ones coming after us must walk. And we just got to remember, today, those brothers and sisters, that's part of God's grace to us. We're not alone. We're not alone. And don't let ourselves, we can't let ourselves get alone. God's going to use them. He's going to use you to help other people maintain their enthusiasm when it's flagging. He's going to use them to help take the grit out of the boredom sometimes that we go through, right? I mean, sometimes that's part of what life is. There's a boredom to it, and in our faith. They're the fresh troops God's going to send when the battle is feeling pretty long and it's wearying to us. And if we don't avail ourselves of this part of God's grace, I think in some ways it's kind of like being on a merry-go-round where the music has quit playing. And it's just kind of gotten rote and routine for us. A grinding mill instead. And it's these others' exhortations that are part of God's grace to you. So do not put yourself in solitary confinement. Because I see this over and over again with Christians. You have all of these people that you can invest in and be with, but I think I'm just going to be by myself. You know, just continue to have that quiet time alone with myself. But you placed yourself in solitary. And you've cut yourself off from one of the great vehicles by which God wants to give His grace to you. And that's through others. So that you don't have to feel alone. So don't do it. Don't do it. Last thing we have here in this passage, short verse 25. Grace be with you all. And this is the same grace that we saw referred to back in chapter 4, where it said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love this, because what this is telling me is that when I have these difficulties, God has the grace to see me through. The struggles, His grace will see me through. My own sin, His grace to see me through. And it's going to be for all of us, for you too, to progress in maturity, to not go backwards, to not be stagnant, but to keep advancing and going forward. And so to cultivate in ourselves and encourage others to strive in faith, there's that reminder, you endure in His Spirit. Keep moving forward. And remember, you're not alone. You're not. That's our book. Hebrews. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? A lot of good things. A lot of depth, a lot of richness that's come out of this. I want to leave you with just one last image to think about as to what this book has ultimately tried to do with us. Over and over again, it's given us a vision for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not enough for you just to go, okay, I'm going to have gumption and I'm just going to keep advancing in faith. No, it's not going to work. What do you got to do? You have to have the vision for Jesus Christ so that He can empower you to do the things that, frankly, you don't have the power to do, but He will see us through. But you got to keep Him as your vision. And when you stand before these exhortations, for God's word like this, let me just remind you, in some ways it's like the mirror of Snow White. Remember that? The evil stepmother looks at it, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? And it usually gave her image, but then there was the time where she asked that question and it didn't show her face, did it? It showed us the face of another. And that's what God's word is doing to us. We're looking at it. Who's the fairest of them all? And the image is Jesus Christ. He's the one who's superior. He's the one who is leading the charge in the faith. He is the one who's going to walk you through these trials, these difficulties, these good times. He's the one that's going to do so. And he is superior. And he will carry you. And he'll carry me too. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, our prayer is that we would not let your word return void. We have the promise that it won't. There is a call in here to us to heed it and to remember it, to believe who you are. Many times we don't. In our heads, we can assent to certain things, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's worked its way into our heart. And our prayer is that you begin the heart work transformation in us as we catch the vision for who Jesus is. Let us take these exhortations to be growing and advancing in our faith. Lord, let us remember that even when the times are hard, we're not by ourselves. You haven't abandoned us. We have others to walk with us. And let us do so. Let us be built up and encouraged in that. Father, maybe there is someone, a few people, who have walked in today and they've known about who you are, but they have not known that peace with you can be accomplished because, not of religion, but because of what Jesus did. Lord, I'm praying that right now they can trust in Him. Not their works, not their efforts, not their desire to even want to be better. But Lord, that you would give them the perfection of Christ. Let them embrace it by faith. And Lord, I pray too that they won't just be saved by it, but they will walk in that same faith every day. And might you do that in us as well. And it's in Jesus' name we ask this, and all God's people said together, amen.